Welcome to Einstein's Disease. Through real-world insights and powerful conversations with industry leaders, we help you break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
Welcome to Einstein's Disease, the show where we explore the challenges of overconfidence and static thinking in professional and personal growth. Our mission is to help individuals and businesses identify their blind spots, cultivate vulnerability, and unlock their full potential. Get ready to challenge the status quo and discover new paths to success. I'm Kenzie Terpstra. I am typically a co-host with Greg Ellers, who is our main host. Greg, unfortunately, will not be joining us today. But that's all right. We've still got a great show lined up for everyone. Today, we are going to be talking with a younger entrepreneur that opened his own marketing agency at the ripe age of 23. And so with that, I'm going to bring in Marco Musso, who is the founder of Awakening Growth, a marketing agency that helps contractors scale with clarity, structure, and intentional systems. Marco, how are you doing today?
Hi, Kenzie. It's good to be here.
Awesome. And so are you still in Mexico, I believe?
I am. I'm here in Tulum, Mexico for a couple more weeks and then back to New York for a family.
Talk about change of environment. How has the weather been down there?
You know, it's interesting. It's extremely humid, hot, beautiful some days, but at random, it'll just absolutely downpour. And that's not fun when I'm riding my scooter and yeah, you can lose your imagination.
Right. Ruins the whole day's of plan. Sounds similar to Flint in Michigan. We have very similar. We've got all the corn sweat. The humidity is insane. And it's been raining for days and days and days. I'm over it.
Yep. No, absolutely.
Awesome. So, Marco, as I mentioned, you're only 23. And so I just wanted to hop off from the jump with that. Did you ever think you were going to be a CEO and founder at 23?
The honest answer is no. And that's because I was at university pursuing a career completely separate to what I was doing. Being a founder, the more entrepreneurial type spirit isn't really in my family either. And I really wasn't surrounded with it growing up. And it wasn't until I decided to make a change for my own life when the job that I wanted to get post-college didn't come to fruition. And I'm sure we're going to get into it, but the experience has been rewarding, stressful, all of the above. But to answer your question, no, it never crossed my mind until 6 months ago when I decided to make a change for my own life.
And sometimes the best life changes happen just like that. And so you are in a very niche industry. How exactly did you fall into marketing for specifically home contractors and roofing specialists?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I work mainly with roofing contractors from across the US. We are based in New York. And the reason I came to roofing and, you know, as opposed to like real estate or pressure washing or whatever it's still be, because there's a million different options I could have chosen from, was because I came from a blue collar family, and roofers specifically are seriously the backbone of the US. And I'm a patriot. I support everyone. And so wanting to support America's, you know, the backbone of America, to really strengthen them and to kind of give them what they deserve, because at the end of the day, they're good people with great companies, with good families. And what really matters at the end of the day is the people that we serve in the highest regard as possible. So coming from that blue collar family, wanting to give back to the community, to actually give value to the marketplace, that's kind of how I stumbled upon roofing contractors and then other contractors here and there. But yeah.
For sure. And so getting into marketing with this kind of industry, what were some of the marketing issues that your clients were having when they first come to you?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I would say the biggest thing is, well, before the relationship even begins, just the trust that needs to be developed between these contractors and these marketers, because unfortunately the barrier to entry is quite low in this space. And so contractors hate marketers, right? And it's just constantly reinforced because people have been scammed before in the past. They aren't getting results. And so when I hop on sales calls with them, that guard is initially up. And as it should be, because the truth is, I'm just a stranger to them, and as are they to me. And so I don't blame them for having the guards up. But one of the main issues is just a clear action plan as well. And I mean, I've spoken to thousands of roofers, and the ones that I have gotten into serious conversations with oftentimes might lack a serious action plan, a serious marketing plan to get results for those both short and long-term realistic goals. And my job, again, is to provide value to the marketplace. And one of those is to fill those gaps in those lead flows and basically the marketing strategy overall. And that's the biggest thing, I would say, just an action plan in addition to the trusts on the sales call and everything leading up to the relationship building.
For sure, for sure. And so when you establish that trust and that authenticity, are you, better way to frame this. What is the difference of somebody trying to market their roofing company individually versus going through with you? How do you build that trust with an individual in their company?
Yeah, so definitely that's a great question. And, you know, oftentimes people will come to me and be like, you know, why don't I do this myself? And the truth is you can, but why not do it with someone that has proven results, with someone, because, you know, as founder and CEO of a contracting company, your job is to focus on the highest leverage thing possible, not so much back-end marketing, low leverage activities that will take time and skills to develop. And it's kind of, and again, it's a skill on its own. And, you know, when roofers ask me that, I'm like, I don't know how to build roofs. I'm assuming you don't know how to, you know, how to market. That's exactly why we're on this call. And it's kind of like the yin and the yang, trying to find that missing piece for their solutions. And that's why I'm here. And so offsetting, delegating is super important when scaling and when actually wanting to grow. And oftentimes going back to, you know, the purpose of your channel and this television, Einstein's disease, is you need to make decisions quickly because the cost of inaction is greater than the cost of staying the same and not making any decision at all. And it's my job to kind of establish that value, build that trust. And there's a saying that we have in marketing, and that's authenticity outcompetes competition. And one of the reasons why I think I've been successful on sales calls and building relations is because I'm just me. And what that means is I'm open, I'm ruthless in my communication, I am there for them when they need, and I believe I just have pure intentions, and it rubs off onto the prospects as opposed to a lot of marketers in this industry who aren't having that like moral compass, you know, that purity, that authenticity, because they're trying to be something they're not. So I'm me, and I think that's why I've had a lot of success.
I absolutely agree. That's a common theme that we've been seeing on this show over our last couple of shows. Obviously, we definitely haven't had a roofing marketing specialist on here before, but just from other ones, whether that is personal growth or entrepreneurship, it seems that authenticity and building that trust with the client is really at the forefront of everything. And so did you know that that was kind of your way into the industry, or did it take a little bit of practice to figure out that that's what people were looking for?
In the beginning of my journey, I thought it would be a lot easier than it was. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to be able to get into that. But in the beginning, I was faced with so many, you know, tons of no's and just really trying to find my way into the marketplace. And over the course of hundreds of cold calls and just getting into the routine of trying to get for a client acquisition, one of the main objections I faced was like, I don't trust you guys. I don't believe you guys. Show me proof. Who are you? What do you even do? And I realized that over the course of several hundred sales calls by now, that just being me will go far further than I thought possible. And there are missing pieces to the marketplace when it comes to establishing that trust. And quite honestly, it goes back to how I answered your last question and just being me and finding that niche fit into the marketplace when establishing trust, when building relations, when maintaining relations, and when retaining clients, because that's another separate issue in itself, is retaining clients as opposed to just signing clients themselves. So I would say I found that out. I found out that roofing companies and contractors in general were just hungry. They're just starving for a good marketer, a good person with pure intentions. And if I could find my spot in that marketplace, then the sky's the limit. And I've been able to kind of do that gradually into the marketplace, and I continue to do that. And again, that's why I believe I've had success in not just getting clients, but retaining clients. And that's what really matters at the end of the day if you want to build and grow a marketing company.
Absolutely. I think that that is, thank you so much for sharing all of that background and subsequent info with us. I think that's a great point to take a break real quick. I would love to hear about the difference on getting new clients and retaining them in our next segment. And so to all of our viewers, thank you for watching. Stay with us. We will be right back to continue learning about more about Marco and what exactly he does. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Einstein's Disease or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows live or on demand anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Thank you for coming back to Einstein's Disease. We are here again. As a reminder, it's just me today. Kenzie Terpstra is your only host. My co-host, Greg Ellers, isn't available to join us. But we are joined today with Marco Musso, who is helping contractors stop winging it and start winning with his marketing agency, specifically for home contractors and roofing specialists. So Marco, thank you again for joining us. Last segment, we finished off with how you bring in your new clients. And so from here, what is your process when you get a new client or you cold call somebody and they're like, sure, I'll give it a go. What's your next step?
Yeah, so kind of like what we spoke about earlier, it's all about establishing trust and building that relation, because it's really how you frame things. And one of the frames, and again, one of the reasons why I think I've had success with it so far, is I'm not just selling a service, I'm building a long-term relation. And when you come with that mindset, with those intentions, it's going to rub off onto the prospects. And that's what actually matters. Long-term relations, it's about people at the end of the day. And you're not just selling a service, you're building a community, you're building relations. And so think about it like this. How can I overload as much value as I can? And how can I just give so people don't need retention? And that's what actually matters. And so from an initial cold call, we have a discovery call, which lasts only between 10 and 15 minutes. And then we have an actual sales call, which is roughly an hour. And then we're coming from a perspective of actually seeing if we could help these people, seeing if they have problems, and seeing if they want to solve these problems themselves. Once they sign, they go to, we schedule an onboarding call, and that's going to last roughly an hour. I get access to everything. We discuss strategy, niche strategy, what makes them different, what makes them outcompete competition in their service area. And then in addition to that call, after the sales call, we have a kickoff call. And that's the day we basically run through all the ads, run through all the automations, all the backend features, all the boring stuff that I kind of got to get out of the way. And so we have several calls after they become a client of ours. And again, it's about building relations, overgiving, and just give, because what you're going to get is what you put out into the marketplace and the value that you actually provide. And then in addition to that, we have biweekly calls. We're in constant communication for customer support, customer service, if anyone needs anything. But again, it's about building long-term relations, and we have several calls after the initial sales call.
Gotcha. And then so when you're bringing on a new client, what are some of the ways in that first couple of weeks that you're working with them? How do you show them the results of what they're working with you for?
Yeah, so what's really cool about what we do through paid meta ads, as opposed to like SEO or things of other sorts, it's that the results are instant. And in this marketplace, time to value is extremely important. Buyer's remorse is a real thing. When as soon as you give someone you know, thousands of dollars, they're like, oh man, did I make the right decision? Did I get my money back? You know, what am I doing from here? So it's all about streamlining the entire process, keeping the clients up to date at what's going to happen when, because you have to be a professional at what you do in order for client retention. But again, time to value. And so with us, the results are pretty instant. People are going to start getting appointments within the first week, and it's all through meta ads. And that's really what the unfair advantage is, because a lot of times people will put things in place like, yeah, I have a company doing SEO, or I have a company doing social media posts, and that's great. But those take time. If you want to gain virality on the socials, it's going to take time. Yeah, you can, of course, you know, get a viral video, whatever, but the chances of that are relatively low. SEO, it takes weeks to develop to actually get to the top page of Google, because think about it. How many companies are in your service area? How many links are there on the front page of Google? 10 to 15. And it's all a numbers game at the end of the day. Marketing is a numbers game. The company that's going to win typically is the one that puts in the most, unless you have the marketer that knows what they're doing. So results are instant with us through paid meta ads, and time to value is extremely important.
Gotcha. And so could you walk through us? I know this is a little bit off topic. Can you walk through with us just what exactly the meta ads look like on the back end? What exactly goes into placing a meta ad on Instagram or Facebook?
Absolutely. And so people nowadays don't want to be forced sold something down their throat. When you see an ad and it just, when you see a pic or a post online and you're scrolling and it screams ad, that's just unattractive. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to click on that. And the more personal, the better. And what I mean by that is some of the best performing ads of some of our clients are simple photos of them with a selfie on a roof with their crew smiling. As you know, as cliche as it might sound, the more personal, the better, because we live in a world where everything is AI. It's slowly becoming AI. Everything is technology. People are on their tablets for 10, 12 hours a day. I mean, you know, you might be watching this and thinking, yeah, you're right. My screen time is 7 hours today. I didn't touch grass today, you know? So the more personal, the better. And people resonate with authenticity, honesty, truth, and just keeping it real. And when we live in an age of a lack of social connection, human conversations, by being able to kind of portray that through meta ads, it's going to resonate with people. And those images, as I mentioned, selfies, in addition to, you know, videos of giving value, and there's different ways to give value to the marketplace as a roofing contractor. It could be educational, or you can talk about the job that you're doing, or you could talk about why you're better than different marketing companies or different roofing companies in your service area. So there's different ways of establishing good content, because another thing too is that the way the algorithms work, Meta is far smarter than anyone knows, myself included. The way the algorithms work, they know where a good customer is and where a good customer isn't. And the way it's going to feed you that is if you give it what it wants. And what it wants is to test new things. Don't just post once and let it run. You have to constantly be reinforcing, changing the sales copy, changing the images. And by extension, it's going to give you what you want if you give it what it wants. As simple as that, it's harder done than said.
100%. I've tried to dabble with meta ads before, and I don't understand any of it. So that question was just as much for me as for all of our viewers, because it doesn't make any sense. But I completely get where you're coming from with the using photos of real people and families and small business to a degree to say, and that is something that I hear as a journalist a lot. And it's something that I see a lot in people's reactions and behaviors, is that people crave community. The age of technology is really taking us away from community. And so you're fostering community through portraying these people through meta in a certain way. And so that's incredible. It makes complete sense why this has been so successful so far.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And another way to think about it too, is that our biology since the dawn of human time hasn't changed. And that means the brain still works the same. Our, you know, DNA is still the same from tens of thousands of years ago. And really understanding psychology, how to market, what pain points, the ideal of what your ideal customer is facing, and figuring out the specifics and the pain, and just putting yourself in a third person perspective and saying, okay, what is my roofing client's ideal customer thinking? What are they feeling? And how can I reach that through an ad? And through that constant thinking and just refining process, you're going to come to your own conclusions, and you're going to just rinse and repeat the process to eventually find a proven system that works. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to come overnight. It's going to take time. And there are no shortcuts to learning how to run ads, just like there are no shortcuts to learning any skill, you as well, right?
Absolutely.
So it's all about time in, and when it comes to running meta ads, there are no shortcuts. And that's the truth people don't want to hear, because everybody wants, you know, quick pleasures, short, you know, quick dopamine rushes. And I get it, but keep refining, and you're going to find your answers through there.
100%. Instant gratification isn't always the right way to go.
Yeah.
And so this is a great time to kind of transition a bit of, obviously you've told us how you bring on your clients, what exactly you're using with them, how you establish that relationship with them. How are you retaining them? How do you keep them coming back for all of their marketing needs, whether that is immediate or 6 months down the road, they come back and say, hey, help us out again.
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, when it comes to retaining, the most important thing is, in my opinion, retaining. Anybody can sign a client, anybody can launch a media campaign, but what do you do when you experience ad fatigue? What do you do when meta is not working in your favor? And what do you do when, you know, clients are getting results or when they're not getting results? And so when it comes to client retention, really it just comes down to the bottom line benefit, and that is, are you getting them results? Are they making more money? Are you putting them in front of more homeowners than when they were without you? And one of the things, and that's it's an important thing to kind of have, you know, like if a client wants to go, having an exit call, because you kind of want to establish to one major point on that call, and that is, what happens when you don't work with us? What happens when you don't have the consistent lead flow that you once had? Will you be back where you once started before we started working together? And retaining clients is extremely important if you want to build consistent recurring revenue and a long-term relation and actually scale a company. And it truly, honestly, just goes back to the bottom line benefit of my job. And that is, A, will I make them more money by putting them in front of more homeowners? And B, another thing I, you know, emphasize too is making their life as stress-free and easy as possible, because the truth is, contractors, they're busy people, they're constantly on the go, they're constantly in meetings, they're, you know, doing it, they're at job sites, and my job is to make your life as stress-free and easy as possible. And in addition to all of that, another side thing that's less important is people buy into people. It's really prevalent among Asian countries, China, Japan, they buy into people. And going back to our initial conversation, that's really why I think I've had tons of success in retaining clients, because I deal with all of my clients on the front end. I'm not delegating it just yet because I enjoy it. And when you have someone that truly believes in what they're doing, and when you have someone that truly understands the algorithm, truly understands that they can get results, and that they're coming from a place of wanting to help as opposed to just selling a service, that rubs off on the prospect and it makes them want to stay with you. And building those personal relationships, like, for example, one of my clients out in Oregon, Gerald, who I spoke with earlier last week, and we did a testimonial video. He's been with me for roughly 4 months. And on our check-in calls, I mean, we're just talking about life. I mean, at this point, it's just not even roofing related. We're just talking about life. We're talking about, like, what are you doing this weekend? Are you going hiking? You know, how's the family? How's your brother? This, that, the other. So it's cool. It's really cool, honestly. You know, once you kind of get past that initial, okay, they're getting results, like, maybe we could keep it a little more casual and personal. But yeah. I kind of hope that helps answer the retention part.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, you made it clear. You're a real person that's really just trying to work with real people that want to see real results. And so, Marco, before we jump to break, how can people find you? Where can they get a hold of you, find more info about how to get involved?
Yeah, so my website is awakeninggrowth.com. Through there, contractors can look at my website, book a call if they want, a discovery call, which just to see if we can help in the first place. And then in addition to that, I have a YouTube channel. I'm slowly growing, trying to teach other SMMA owners, and that's just my name, Marco Musso. And again, I keep everything raw and real, no brain rot, no quick edits, just me talking.
For sure. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. To our viewers, we will be right back. We're going to take a break, but we will be back with more info on Awakening Growth and what all Marco has under his belt. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease, where we are providing you tools to help maximize your future by changing the way you think about yes, no, and what you really know. We are into our third block with Marco Russo, the founder of Awakening Growth. The last segment, we learned a whole lot about what exactly Marco does, how he brings his clients on, how he's keeping them, and really shared a lot about just being a real person and connecting with other real people. And so for this part, we wanted to pivot a little bit more introspective, if you will, with Marco. And so, Marco, starting off, when you made the jump, obviously you shared in the very first segment that this was never the intention. You weren't planning to do this. You had a completely different idea for what you wanted to do. And so when you did switch into this, was there a moment of maybe this isn't right? Were you worried, rejection? Was there kind of a self-doubt moment there?
Quite honestly, the answer is no, just because I know who I am as a person. And kind of like what I was speaking about earlier, I know who I am as a person. And I come from a sports background where I was yelled at all the time, never gave up when it comes to wrestling, football, rugby, whatever it so be. And I knew that if I truly committed to something, it would work out. Because one of the most fascinating things in anyone's journey and your journey watching this is that there is no losing if you don't quit. As cliche as it might sound, if you just keep going, if you just stick to the path, then you're going to win. And one of the ways you can also outcompete others is just by staying in the game longer. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so when I decided to start this marketing agency 6 months ago, I said to myself, this is a commitment. I cannot get cheap dopamine rushes, get rejected ones, and just keep going on to the next business model and just keep changing niches. I said, no, I'm going to stick with one niche. I'm going to work with roofers. I'm going to do marketing, and I'm going to make it work. And here we are 6 months later, through pure focus, through intention, through discipline. And most important thing is consistency. And going back to your question, the self-doubt part, in the beginning of any endeavor, in the beginning of your journey, the mindset is 80% of the journey. It's tough. It's hard out there, especially in sales, where every single time, you know, for every 200-300 no's, you're going to get maybe one yes, especially if you're beginning out, especially if you don't have conviction in your voice on sales calls, because you don't have any results or any evidence to prove who you are as a person or what you can do. And it's hard. I get it. But for me personally, I knew that this worked because I saw it with my own eyes with people who were doing it. And I was like, okay, if they could do it, so can I. And with who I am as a person, with my personality, with the reason I was doing it. And that's really important, is the reason you're doing what you're doing. A lot of people don't really know why they're doing what they're doing to begin with. And if you could ground yourself in reason, if you could ground yourself in the truth and what you're trying to seek, because there's an end goal to pretty much any endeavor, right? Like, you don't just do something randomly for the most part. You have an end goal, you have a goal, you have an ambition, you have an aim. Maybe that's to, you know, change your life. You want to be location independent. You want to start networking in these, you know, different groups, and you gotta get there. And me personally, I would say the biggest thing that kind of allowed me to keep going is just knowing my why and grounding myself in that. And I don't know what your why is. You have to find that on your own. But that, in addition to consistency, discipline, and who I am as a person, is why I've been able to kind of make success of the company.
Absolutely. And just talking to you through this taping, it is very evident that you're passionate and you care about what you're talking about. And so I can only imagine how your clients see that coming through over the phone. And so when you were first doing those cold calls, was that hard? What was kind of the hardest part of dialing a phone? I can't imagine. I'll be straight up. I'm not built for cold calling. And so I'm dying to know, how did you really get over that? Two questions. Did you ever have a maybe this is the wrong thing moment? And two, if you did, how did you keep going after that?
Well, let me start by saying cold calling isn't fun. it's not fun at all. Especially what we say is in the trenches. When you're in the trenches, you're like going through the thick of it. It's hard, it's painful, but you have to do it in order to pop out to the other side. Because at the end of the day, what you're doing is you are the investment. You are the investment. It's gaining the skills. It's learning everything from the foundation up, because the skills are what's going to take you long term. If you've been doing it for 6 months, you know, one of the people, for example, who I really look up to in the space is Alex Hormozi. And Alex Hormozi, the first 3 years of his company, you know, sold his gyms, dealt with bad business partners. And over the course of the following 5 months, after those 3 years, he made more money in those 5 months than he did in those past 3 years. And why? It's because he, as a person, was the investment. It's about developing the skills that will take you long term. And once you have those skills, the sky's the limit. And for me personally, I was like, okay, this is gonna suck. It's not gonna be fun, but I'm learning sales. I'm learning how to talk to people over the phone. I'm learning how to basically get a stranger to work with me. And over the course of, you know, a turnaround period of like 1 week. And it's like, how can I make that possible? And when you really ask yourself, and when you really dedicate yourself to something, the world is yours, to be honest. But to your question, there were times of doubt, but I knew it was going to work out. In the beginning of your journey, it's 80% mindset, because just those rejections are painful. And especially when you get really, really angry people on the phone, they're cursing at you, telling you, you should change what you're doing. It's never going to work. And I'm like, I don't know you. Why are you saying this to me? I'm just a random guy.
Right. You know, it's insane how people talk to one another. Random.
No, it's crazy. But it paints a picture, and that lesson, a bigger picture, and that is ignore the noise, focus on the work. Ignore the noise of maybe people in your family telling you it's not going to work out. Ignore the noise, focus on the work. Ignore, you know, maybe those friends that you thought were close to you that just don't support you, focus on the work. And through that, through focusing on what you actually can control and not what you can't, that's what actually matters. Because again, going back to your why, to your reason, you take those outcomes, everything you desire, everything of that dream version of yourself, you put it down on the vision board, and then you say, okay, what are the daily actions I can take to get there? And through those, and those actions included 200 cold calls a day for months straight. And that's not fun, but it's hard out there. It is, I get it. And for those that are starting, there is no way around it. Just like I spoke about with media buying and running the ads, there are no shortcuts. And that's the ugly truth that you have to face when starting something new.
100%. And if marketing doesn't work out, you'll probably have a great future in personal growth and helping other entrepreneurs. You're really great at this. You should write a book.
Thank you. I might.
Yeah, of course. And so now it's been about 6 months since you started all of this. Is there anything that you would go back and change if you could?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect, because there are mistakes I made along the way. And one of those is stop thinking you can do it all yourself. In the beginning of my journey, for the first 3 months, I had very little to no success. And it wasn't enough to be like, marketing is great, let's keep going, this is so cool, you know, I'm signing clients. No, that was not fun for the first 3 months. And that's because I thought I could do everything myself. And I really do think ego killed me in the beginning, quite honestly, because, you know, I'm 23, I did a bunch of things beforehand, you know, I went to university, you know, got good grades, studied abroad twice. And I thought I was like, oh, I could do this myself, and I could do anything, right? Trying to, you know, ego that. But I would say invest in mentorships sooner than immediately, quite honestly. And, you know, because when I first joined a mentorship, that really taught me everything I needed to know. It just made the growth of the company exponential, not linear. And, you know, just a little quick side tangent. What's really cool about success is that success is exponential and not linear. So it's not like, you know, for example, like what I spoke about with Alex Hormozi, 5 months, you made more money than in 3 years. And that's because you are developing those skills. You are the investments. And that's what matters at the end of the day. And so when you win, when you lose, you lose. Kind of like the saying, when it rains, it pours, right? Like when you start getting clients, it leads to referrals, you get results, and it's all a numbers game at the end of the day. Marketing, and honestly, anything in life, it's just a numbers game. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out. And I would say invest in mentorship sooner. Don't think you could do it all alone, because you're basically competing against teams out here, people that talk about marketing all day in groups. And what you can accomplish in one day or in 1 month, you can accomplish in like just a few days with five guys sitting around a table talking about marketing, how to market, you know, how to get better results, how to fix problems with the company in all aspects. So invest in mentorships and start sooner.
Absolutely. And so when you did go and get a mentor and you spent this time with them, what is the one big thing that you took away from that, that you're implementing day to day with Awakening Growth?
Yeah, no, I would say one of the biggest things I learned from the mentorship was that when you see people through having true success with their company and doing everything you want, that dream version of yourself, and you're like still at the bottom, still kind of like ground zero, but you meet these people in person, you see them online, you're constantly talking to them, and they're like 10, 20 steps ahead of you. You ask yourself, if they can do it, so can I. Because if they're human, I'm human, just like what I was speaking about earlier. And it's just a matter of time in. They just simply put more time in than me. It's not that they were smarter or had a higher IQ than me. It's just that they did the inputs, they did the work, they went through the pain, and now what they're doing, they popped out the other side and they're teaching everyone who wants to get there. And it really does something to your subconscious. It's like, wow, this is really possible. Because another big thing too is that in this online space, and you know, everyone's working virtually, a lot of people think people are scammers and that the lifestyle isn't true of just, you know, travel and just excitement. And I get it. But when you see it with your eyes, when you get inside these groups and you see that it's really possible and that these people who are doing it are no smarter than you, don't, you know, I mean, they worked harder than you in the beginning, but you could be working harder than them now if you do 3-4x what they're doing right now. And that once you realize they're just human, you can do it. And then maybe it wasn't like a technical thing or like something I should say on the sales call that I learned that like changed the course of the company, but rather deep belief in what I'm doing and that knowing it's possible really accelerated the growth of the company just by seeing it with my own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I totally get that. And thank you for sharing. I definitely don't know many people that have taken a mentor, but it's not exactly like far-fetched. And so it kind of just, when you first told me that, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. But we'll jump off for our last break here. Marco, thanks so much for joining us today. We will be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease. Are you loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Einstein's Disease or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Einstein's Disease. I'm Kenzie Terpstra, your only host for the day. In this final segment, we're going to go beyond business to meet the man himself, Marco Musso. We've been talking with him about Awakening Growth, which is his marketing agency that he started specific for home contractors and roofing specialists. But there's a lot more to Marco than just his name and title. So we're going to jump in a little bit more about Marco. Marco, as we already mentioned, you're from New York. Can we just start off with that? What is that like? Did you grow up in the city, more upstate? Where are you from specifically?
Yeah, so I'm from Long Island, New York, which is roughly just an hour outside the city itself. And it's absolutely amazing. I love where I'm from. I'm 15 minutes from the beach, an hour from the city, 2 hours from out east, Montauk to Hamptons. And it's absolutely beautiful. Life there is amazing. And it is honestly a dream. I love going back home to visit family. Though I'm not home that much, but I love it. It's the best.
That's incredible. I've never been to New York. I'm from Michigan. For our viewers that didn't know, I live in Michigan. And I definitely wasn't expecting you to say that you're 15 minutes from the beach in Long Island. I don't know why, but that just never would have been a beach destination in my head.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I know that you have a little bit of world travel under your belt besides being in Mexico currently. And so can you just share with the viewers, where have you been? Why were you there? That sort of stuff.
Yeah, so before I started the marketing agency 6 months ago, I went to university in DC. I went to George Washington University, and I was studying basically security, terrorism, narcotics, basically, I guess, just the dark side of the world, if that makes sense, but trying to make a difference, right? Trying to make a difference in the world. And through those experiences, I studied abroad twice, and the first was in Jordan in the Middle East, and the second was in Senegal, West Africa. Senegal, I was learning French, still studying my own research, and similar in Jordan, studying a little bit of Arabic and just living with a homestay, with a home family. And those experiences, especially the aspect of living with a home family, is mind-blowing, because you basically want to approach these situations like, I don't know anything. I'm coming into your country as a blank slate. Teach me. And I'm going to accept it. I'm going to form my own opinions from it. One of the experiences that I really think about quite frequently is when I lived in Jordan with my host family, I was studying a terrorism group called Hezbollah in Lebanon. And I was eating dinner one night with my host family, and I took a sip of water from a mug, and I looked at the mug, and the mug was a picture of this gentleman called Hassan Nasrallah, who was the leader of Hezbollah until he was killed by Israel. And at the time, I'm like, wait, this is a terrorist. I'm sipping on a mug at dinner. And I was like, Mama, is this who I think it is? And she was like, yes, we like him. And, you know, he's from a Western perspective, he's a bad guy. He killed tons of Americans, like thousands of Americans. And it's like, but you have to come up from a place of acceptance. But those experiences definitely shaped who I am as a person by putting everything into perspective and realizing that I'm small, the world is huge, and that it's a beautiful place out there, and there's still so much to explore.
Absolutely. It's all about perspective. That is something that I love to stand on a soapbox about, is that you never understand another person's lived experiences until you're with them. And we are so, I want to say sheltered, and part of me feels like that's the wrong word, but I think it's fitting that we have no idea what's out there. And so that's incredible. I can only imagine experiencing something like that. And so how did that shape you as a person? What kind of impact did that have on Marco moving forward?
Yeah, I especially more so in Senegal. When I went into rural Senegal, I saw people's homes that were just destroyed by climate change, people with absolutely nothing. I have friends that worked in refugee camps, and seeing those, telling me about those experiences and just seeing real suffering, that changes the person. And what I mean by that is, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to like just being grateful for what you have. Simple things like clean water, a warm shower, my arms and my legs, simple things like that, that most people take for granted. From my experience in New York or in the US in general, I would just say simple things like that, and not taking anything for granted, truly enjoying every single second of when I'm back home with my family in New York, truly enjoying human connection, when I'm sitting across someone at a dinner table or with my friends, just hanging around, talking, catching up, and really just enjoying the purity of life, because time flies. I'm 23 and it feels like high school was yesterday, quite honestly. But it really makes me just zoom out, be grateful for everything, and just do as much as I possibly can while I'm here, and more so while I'm young. So it feels like a race against time, but being grateful and seeing those, I guess, suffering in person really just makes you a better person, more humble, and grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I totally get the race against time. It feels like life is just a rat race that never stops. It's always on to the next thing. Yeah. And so what do you do outside of work? What are your favorite things? What are you passionate about outside of marketing and home contractors?
Yeah, I like to say I'm an adrenaline junkie. So, but in addition to that, I love learning languages. I speak conversational French. I learned a little bit of Arabic. I'm trying to learn some Spanish while I'm here in Mexico. But, whenever I try speaking Spanish, they speak English back to me because they know I'm a gringo and they know I don't speak it. So I guess they speak Spanglish. But I love working out. I love CrossFit, High Rocks. High Rocks is a really cool and unique competition that happens all over the world. I did one in Berlin. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do one in Rome in late September. In addition to that, just being grounded in the simple things in life, catching up with friends, working out with friends, doing different adventures, just traveling as much as I can with people, and just trying to just improve one day at a time, like with the company, with myself. It's all about self-improvement and self-respect, I believe, at the end of the day. And if you can improve one thing every single day in 1 year, you won't recognize yourself.
Absolutely. And so earlier in the show, you mentioned that you played sports, said you got yelled at a lot for sports. What sports did you play?
Yeah, so in high school, I did football and wrestling. I'm washed up now, but that was high school 5-6 years ago. And then at university, I played rugby. That was brand new. It was absolutely amazing. Fractured my ankle, but it's a great sport. It's tough, but it's very respectful. You don't argue with the refs. You'll get red flags. You'll get yellow flags, but there is no talking back. It's a very grounded, respectful sport. And in addition to that, a little bit of mixed martial arts on the side, but now it's mainly just CrossFit and working out like an athlete. So I love to stay mobile. I love to stay active. And those sports definitely shaped who I am as a person. And those experiences don't leave you. They stick with you and who you are as a person, and by extension, how you treat your clients, how you treat your company, how you treat your family, how you treat your friends. And at the end of the day, if you're just a good person with pure intention, then life's going to be great. But also another big thing too is stoicism in the sports has taught me a lot, you know, like not freaking out, not being overly emotional, you know, just like being rooted. Just, you know, when things are going crazy, just stay calm. When things are going great, just stay calm. It's going to be okay. And those experiences were amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. I know I had a couple of friends that did the same thing. We didn't have rugby, but they went into rugby in college and they loved it. They were immediate fans. I don't know a single thing about it, but it sounds like a lot of fun. And so you have done a lot of personal looking in and reflection. And so I'm just going to ask one more question, I swear. And that would be, you are obviously very self-aware and you are prioritize those things both as a person and a business owner. What is one thing that you're still working on?
Ooh, that's a great question. One thing I'm still working on that I've been working on and will continue to do so because it's never ending game is, I would say, just seeking truth and being and just living life to the fullest. Quite honestly, I think a lot of people nowadays are trying to be something that they're not. And I think authenticity is the highest form of self-love. And I'm trying to just be my authentic self. And through that, improving one thing every single day is something I've been working on. And quite honestly, it's taken me pretty far in the last 6 months. So I would just say just seeking truth and getting better in all realms of life, as cliche as that might sound, being physically fit, learning a language, learning new things about the company, things of that sort.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, it has been great to get to know you and learn more about you today. Before we jump off, one more time, how can our viewers get in touch with you and get a hold with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website, awakeninggrowth.com, and then I have a YouTube channel, which is just Marco Musso.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, Marco, it has been wonderful to get to know you today. You clearly have some awesome things going on. I'd definitely be interested in hopefully having you back 6 months to a year down the road and see what exactly is happening with Awakening Growth and what's going on with you in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you to all of our viewers for tuning in today. Sad that Greg couldn't join us. He definitely would have liked this one. But I am Kenzie Terpstra, your only host for today's episode of Einstein's Disease. And we'll see you next time.